Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Perspective is everything. In Hollywood, there is an exclusive school I read about, attended by children of movie stars, producers, and directors. And one of the teachers asked the students to write a composition on the subject of poverty. A little girl in the class started her story like this. Once upon a time, there was a poor little girl. Her father was poor. Her mother was poor. Her governess was poor. Her chauffeur was poor. Her butler was poor as well. Perspective. We only know what we know. And for many of us, it seems an odd Thanksgiving this year with layoffs and financial uncertainty, and we live in odd times. Even the firmest of traditions are being questioned and rewritten. I heard about a little fourth grader who stood up to give a report at school concerning Thanksgiving, and he had been barraged by so many different ideas. He was very cautious when he began. He said, "The pilgrims came here seeking freedom of, you know what. And when they landed, they gave thanks to you know who. And because of them, we can worship each Sunday you know where." We are going through changes. But many of the problems are not new and have needed changing for a very long time. Now, two changes I'd like to make if I had the power to make them in the way we observe Thanksgiving. First comes from Mark Twain. And some of you have seen this one before, but I love it. He said, "We've got it all backwards. We should observe Thanksgiving 364 days out of the year and set aside one day to complain." And I would take that day off. We do have so much more to thank God for than we have to complain about. And if your list goes in the other direction, I don't think I can help you tonight. The other thing I would like to change is the mass quantities of food. The trouble is, relative to our ancestors and much of our world today, we already eat like kings and queens daily. And to make Thanksgiving Day special, we usually eat like pigs. Joking aside, it might make us more thankful for abundant food if we set aside at least one day a year to fast. I heard a doctor say recently that the trouble with us eating like kings and queens is that we die like royalty used to die. Abundance of rich food, high fat, high calories and sugar contribute to many of the health problems we face, including diabetes, heart disease, etc. We're in an odd time when I read recently that in our nation one of the biggest problems among the poor is obesity. A very odd time. If you dig deeply into the Lord's Prayer and remember what it says there about food, you get the idea of daily bread. Jesus taught us to pray for daily bread. And that means just enough for each day, to trust God each and every day for enough. We are discouraged from tearing down our barns and building bigger ones to store wealth in for our future until we have enough to feel secure. Instead, Jesus taught us to trust God and to pray only for enough. Enough for each day. And enough is one of those, it comes from the Hebrew word shalom has a meaning of enough. We know the word peace, but it also, shalom also means enough, as in daily bread, as in basic things. Yes, it means peace, but it means peace when we have enough. Far from abundance and adequacy, some rare people find a way to be thankful even for adversity. Helen Keller, both blind and deaf, wrote this. She said, "I thank God for my handicaps, for through them I have found myself, my work, and my God." A less known figure, Henry Tanner, died in the 1930s. Was one of the first black painters to acquire an international reputation in the last century. And one of his most popular paintings is titled The Thankful Poor. In the painting, it features an elderly father and his little son, and they're seated at a table to eat, and there is no fancy turkey and dressing. There are no cranberry sauce or sweet potatoes or pumpkin pie. Instead, in the picture, There is only one tiny dish of food for them to share. But in spite of their limited resources, their heads are bowed in prayer to give thanks to God for what little they have. Although they were poor, they are thankful to God. Sort of political and social commentator of many generations ago, Will Rogers, wrote this, and I love it. He said, "In the days of our founders, they were willing to give thanks for mighty little, for mighty little was all they expected. But now neither government nor nature can give enough but what we find it's too little. Those old boys in the fall of the year, if they could gather in a few pumpkins, potatoes, and some corn for winter, they was in a thanking mood. But if we can't gather in a new Buick, a new radio, a tuxedo, and some government relief, why, we feel like the world is against us." As usual, Will Rogers was on target. They knew they were dependent upon God for their very existence. And we forget that. So are we. And yet we tend to be most thankful for the extras. We tend to be most thankful for the unnecessary creature comforts and status symbols that God never promised. Every beat of our heart is a gift from God, and we forget that. Maybe this Thanksgiving we will remember that life itself is a wondrous and precious thing, not to be wasted and squandered on chasing after so many shiny things. I'm reminded of a Jewish prayer to begin the day. It's a prayer to begin each day, and I very often use it. It goes, "Thank you, Lord, for returning my soul unto me. Great is your trust in me." Each day, God entrusts us with the gift, the continuing gift of life. It is intended to be used for thanks and praise, for loving God and loving neighbor. Like the pilgrims, we have relative safety and we have the freedom to worship God as our conscience dictates. And I'm thankful that we can worship together, blending our different traditions into one service of praise and thanksgiving. God has blessed us all beyond the pilgrims' wildest imaginings. You know, Thanksgiving did begin with their hearts overflowed with joy that God had provided just enough food for them to make it through the winter snow and ice of the coming winter. And it continued and was brought back as a practice right in the middle of the crisis of the Civil War by a proclamation by Abraham Lincoln. And now, though Thanksgiving has its roots in thankfulness in the middle of crisis, you occasionally hear about a Christian congregation splitting down the middle over the difference of 2 degrees in the thermostat setting. Anybody think it's too hot? Not after that. Folks, next time we're worried over a thermostat setting or some other minor matter, consider the pilgrims giving thanks in that first Thanksgiving, or the proclamation that brought it back in the middle of the Civil War during Abe Lincoln's time. We have to put things into perspective in order to know just how thankful we ought to be. Matthew Henry, many of you know as a biblical scholar, was once mugged, true story, and his wallet stolen. And he wrote in his diary, he didn't know we were going to read his diary, he wrote in his diary 4 different things he was thankful for. This man was a master of finding something to be thankful for. He said, "Let me be thankful first because I was never robbed before. Second, although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, although they took all I had, it wasn't that much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed and not someone else." Now that is a soul who knows how to be thankful. He gets robbed and finds 4 things to be thankful for. Most of us would, if that happened to us, feel picked on and singled out and yell, "Why me, Lord?" We don't have very developed attitudes of thankfulness, especially in crisis. I hesitate to say, but I bet that most of us, if our TV, our cable, our satellite went out on Thanksgiving Day, most of us would not find anything to be thankful about the rest of the day. It's a matter of perspective. I really hope that each of you can focus a lot more on each other and the love that you share with the people around the table than just the dinner and the food. I don't know about you, but it is nothing short of agonizing to me to sit through an entire meal where the entire topic is food, the food we're eating, the recipes, and who had the recipe first, and how it will go to waste if I don't have a third helping. I just about can't stand that sort of a meal. There are people around us. Let's talk to the people and about each other's lives. It's the people. the relationships. You know, it's a funny thing, but I have met folks over the years who are sincerely thankful for crises in their lives. Many people in my church have reported to me over the years in my churches that they were thankful for life-threatening illnesses and crises. And they have said, because coming close to death or coming close to their life, exploding has made them see for the first time how much people matter more than money and things, and how much God matters in their lives. Years ago, a good friend of mine, a friend that I met through the Kairos Prison Ministry, he lost his job with Duke Power unexpectedly. He had been 18 years an engineer with them up in the Charlotte area. He had two kids, a house payment, and roots in the community. All gone in a moment's notice. And he said his faith alone had sustained him and even given him a positive outlook that God was leading him to somewhere new. He told me that he was thankful. Thankful that it had happened during a time when there were so many other plants across the nation hiring people with his background. And he was thankful that God was in his life, because years before, he really didn't have God in his life. And he thought if it had happened then, he would have crumbled. I also met a man who once had to evacuate his home in the line of a hurricane. And he and his wife spent frantic hours searching and stuffing everything they thought, every knick-knack and photograph and what have you, that they thought was essential into their cars. He said then years later, his family and children escaped with only their lives from a burning home. They lost all their things, but not each other. He said after those two experiences, he realized how much his life and the lives of his family meant, and how little the non-essentials meant. He swore that if he ever had to evacuate the coast again on the threat of a hurricane, he would calmly pick up his toothbrush and drive off. A crisis, two crises, made him consider what was worthy of his love and what he was truly thankful for. Your life matters, other people matter, and God, the author of all love and relationships, matters. All the rest tends to get in the way. Yes, the Hebrew word shalom does mean enough, as in daily bread, as in basic things, and also means peace, the peace that comes between us and God through faith and between us and each other through the same faith. Irma Bombeck, as I close, I saw a few people looking at watches. Irma Bombeck compiled a book about children with cancer a few years ago. And I know this is dated, but it's also timeless. The title of the book, if you want to look it up, is I Want to Grow Hair, I Want to Grow Up, I Want to Go to Boise. Good title. Irma found strength and encouragement in the insights of those children with cancer. And she said one little voice constantly echoed in her mind and in her heart in all the interviews she did with children with cancer, and it was the voice of an 8-year-old named Christina. Christina had cancer of the nervous system, and on her 8th birthday, she was asked, "What do you want for your birthday?" And the book records that Christina thought for a long time, and finally she said, "I don't know. I have 2 sticker books and a Cabbage Patch doll. I have everything." Perspective. I am thankful. I personally am thankful that God loves me, even me, that God forgives me, even my sins, that God has saved me from a worthless and empty life and given me a mission that matters and people around me. I am thankful that I have a small part in sharing Jesus' love, compassion, and hope. And out of all the love and time and talents and treasure that God sends my way, I know that I have more than enough to share, and I'm thankful for that. This Thanksgiving, let's be thankful for that, that as children of God, we do have so much to share. We are blessed with so much to share and ways to show the world around us whose we are. Amen and amen.